and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour with your host, Justine Ward. After 5 weeks of convalescence off the air, Jack Benny returned to radio in a show with Orson Welles, who had filled in for him for 4 weeks. In the past 2 weeks, we have presented the four shows that Orson Welles did in Jack Benny's place. In this episode, we have the two pompous braggarts together as Jack returns to his show. I know you'll get a lot of laughs from these two amazing personalities on the Jack Benny program. Jack returns with co-star Orson Welles, first broadcast April 11th, 1943 on NBC.
Flake program with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And back with us, after an absence of 5 weeks, Jack Benny. Of course, we've all heard how it takes two to make a bargain. Well, truer words were never said when it comes to modern shopping. Because it takes two kinds of currency, cash and ration stamps, to buy many of today's foods. So here's a thought to put in your pocketbook on your shopping expedition next time. Nearly all foods, let's face it, have gone up in price. Gone up anywhere from 2% to 75%. But there's at least one big exception to this general wartime rule. Grape Nuts Flakes is America's fastest growing breakfast cereal. And because you folks have been switching to that big 12-ounce economy size package, you're paying, on the average, less for your Grape Nuts Flakes today than you did in 1939. So with the price of many foods where it is today, it's great to know you're doing both your family and your budget a favor when you serve more crisp, toasty brown Grape Nuts Flakes. For they're a real flavor treat, they provide important whole grain nourishment, and they bring you real savings. So plan to buy several packages at a time in the big 12-ounce economy size of unrationed Grape Nuts Flakes. Anybody played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to take you to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills, where Jack is convalescing from his recent illness. The time, shortly before noon today, the place, Jack's bedroom. Take it away, Beverly Hills.
Let's see, I got 2 teaspoons of cherry syrup in it, a couple of drops of menthol. I think it needs another dash of gin. There, that's enough. This kind of medicine makes a cold a pleasure. Oh, Mr. Benny. Mr. Benny, wake up.
What is it, Rochester?
What do you want, Rochester?
It's time for your cough medicine. I think you'll like it better now. I put more gin in it.
More gin? You mean to say this cough medicine I've been drinking has gin in it?
You couldn't have that silly grin on your face from just plain cough.
What?
You may not believe this, but you've been snoring Sweet Adeline.
Well, I might have known you to make my cough medicine wrong. Believe me, from now on, I'll have my prescription filled at the drugstore.
Okay, boss, but you'll find very few pharmacists with the imagination I got.
I don't want imagination. I want my medicine right. Now, put my electric heating pad under the covers. My feet are getting chilly.
Electric heating pad? That's the toaster with a towel wrapped around it.
I don't care. Plug it in.
Yes, sir.
Answer the phone.
Hello? Mr. Benny's residence. Boudoir extension.
Well,
sugar. How are you?
Hmm.
Well, I don't know, honey. I'll have to find out. Oh, Mr. Benny, can I have tonight off? I want to go down to Central Avenue to see my girl.
No, absolutely not.
Looks like you'll have to come out here, honey. Go on.
Rochester, you know I'm not feeling well. Why can't you see your girlfriend tomorrow night?
Tomorrow's Monday. I got a date with my Monday girl.
Your Monday girl?
Maybe I could switch my Tuesday girl to Wednesday and make Saturday a double header.
Well, if it's that involved, you don't ever... Whoop! Whoop, pull it out!
Pull out what?
Pull the plug! Pull the plug!
What's the matter, boss?
Pull the plug. My toes are caught in the toaster. Quick, pull it out.
There you are, Mr. Bennett.
Ooh, my foot burns. Wow, pour some ice water on it, Rochester.
Hold still, boss.
There, that's better. Oh, hello, Mary.
What's the matter, Jack? Somebody give you a hot foot?
No, I got my toes caught in the toaster.
Your toes caught in the what?
In the toaster. Could happen to anyone.
Oh, sure. Everybody's making toast in bed nowadays. It's all the rage.
I was using it for a heating pad. Oh, but Rochester, what are you doing with that bottle of cough medicine?
I was holding up to the light and some of it ran down my throat.
Well, why were you hauling it up to the light?
I told you, some of it ran down my throat.
Put that bottle down.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel, Jack? You think you'll be able to make the show today?
I've got to. I can't disappoint my public. Just think, Mary, people have been deprived of hearing my voice for 5 long weeks.
You'd be surprised how fast they went.
Well, I'll admit that Orson Welles did a pretty good job.
Pretty good? He's one of the most polished performers I've ever worked with.
He is, eh?
He has the most beautiful speaking voice I've ever heard.
Oh, he has, eh?
Gosh, when he says, "Good evening, this is Orson Welles," I get goose pimples all over.
I don't care if you break out in billiard balls, you go back to the line. Goose pimples. Anyway, let me tell you something about the guy that gives you such a thrill. I was sick in bed 5 weeks. He didn't even send me a basket of fruit. I finally had to wire him. I mean, the least he could have done, you think, would be
well,
to...
Well, look who's here. Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Mary.
Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Boy, you have been sick.
Well, I imagine I am a little pale.
A little pale? You look like you went to the blood bank and forgot to say when.
No, I'm not that bad. She was at the front door, Rochester.
Oh, it can't be my girl yet. She just called.
It might be for me. My house, remember? I answer the door.
Okay.
Say, Jackson, I got a surprise for you. Alice Faye, now appearing in Hello Frisco, Hello, made a dozen donuts for you with her own little hands.
A dozen donuts? Where are they?
Out in the car. I'll get Rochester to help me carry them in.
They're that heavy, Phil. Leave them in the car.
No, I got to get them out of there. My tires keep going down. That Harris is really bumping his gums.
Phil, I'm only guessing, but I'll bet my temperature just went up 2 points.
Well, Jack, if you have a fever, you ought to stay home and let Orson handle the show today.
What's a little fever? I've had it for 5 weeks now. 1 minute I'm hot, the next minute I'm cold. Then I'm hot, then I'm cold.
You sound like a shower bath at a cheap hotel.
I don't care what I sound like. Orson Welles is not going to do my program today.
Gosh, I'm sure going to miss Wellesley. Without him, the show won't have no refinement, no culture, no class.
And won't have no Harris if you don't shut up. Anyway, what's all this raving about Orson Welles? Gosh, when I was in third grade in Waukegan, I was a genius, too. I did something no other pupil ever did before.
What'd you do?
He joined the Navy.
All right, my record still stands.
Say, boss, the doctor's here. Do you want to see him?
No, Rochester, no. I've been lying here in bed all week because I can't find my pants.
You're pressing them under your mattress.
Well, show the doctor in.
Okay, here he is.
Oh, how do you do, doctor?
Well, well, and how's my little patient? Shall we take that nasty cast off your leg today?
I got a cold in my chest, doctor, not a broken leg.
Oh, pardon me. I was thinking of Claudette Colbert's Cocker Spaniel. He's coming along fine.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Now, Doc, would you mind examining me? I got to go down to NBC and do a broadcast today.
Why? Is Orson Welles sick?
No, look, I'm getting better. Now, please examine me.
All right. I'll take a look at your chest first. Now, roll up your nightshirt.
Okay. Here it goes. There you are. How do I look, Doc?
My, you're kind of caved in there.
Yeah.
Get a load of his chest. That's the only skin hammock I ever saw.
Oh, don't be so funny. Hey, Doc.
Hey, watch your cigarette, Doc. That's my mouth, not an ashtray.
Pardon me. Now, let's see. I think I'll tap your chest.
Well, go ahead, tap me.
Now, hold still. My, there seems to be a piece of metal in there.
That's a bullet I got years ago when I was hunting moose in Saskatchewan.
It's a bullet you got from a Spanish dancer in El Paso.
Ah, Rosita. She finally ran away with a bullfighter. I wonder where she is now.
I wonder where the bullfighter is. I could use some meat.
Oh, Rosita. Well, can I do my show today, Doctor?
Yes, you'll be fine. Well, I must run along now. W.C. Fields St. Bernard is out of brandy. Goodbye.
Say, Jackson, I wonder if that doctor's any good.
Oh, he must be. He delivered Whirlaway. I hope Don and Dennis get here pretty soon. Then we can have our rehearsal and get started for the studio.
Hey, Jackson, what's the idea of rehearsing here in your bedroom anyway?
Well, I'm saving all my strength for my public. After all, I've been pretty... Well, I'll be darned. Oh, Rochester!
Yes, boss!
Why are you pouring my cough medicine in those cocktail glasses?
I thought it might liven up the party!
This isn't a party. Now, you put that medicine back in the bottle. Never saw such a guy. You always have to be the host around here. Don and Dennis should be here by now. It's almost 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock already? How about some lunch, Jackson?
Okay. But remember, Phil, we have rationing now, so I can't dish out food like I used to.
Like you used to?
Yes.
You got so many meals out of a leg of lamb one time, it got mad and kicked you.
Well, that settles it. There'll be no lunch served. Rochester, the lobster salad, hot rolls, and apple pie a la mode are out.
There's a dream meal that can go back to the clouds.
Whatever we have, don't serve us.
Say, Jackson, I was just wondering, have you still got that crazy boarder of yours?
You're referring to Mr. Billingsley, Phil. He's not crazy.
He's not crazy. You know how he made orange juice this morning? He ran the oranges through the wringer.
Through the wringer?
Then he hung them out to dry.
He just likes to try out new things, that's all. As a matter of fact, he...
Uh-oh. Speak of the devil. Here he is.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Mr. Billingsley.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Still flat on your mattress, I see.
Yes, we were just talking about you, Mr. Billingsley. Your ears must be burning.
Well, I'll have to call the fire department. I've got a new hat on.
Oh, you haven't changed a bit. By the way, Mr. Billingsley, we're going to rehearse our radio program in a few minutes. Would you like to stay and hear it?
Oh, I'd love to. I'll just hide under the bed here in case your husband comes home. Here I go. Whoop, bumped my head. Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye.
You dog, you.
Good old Billingsley. That must be Don and Dennis. Come in.
Oh, hello, Jack. Sorry we're a little late.
How do you feel, Mr. Benny?
Oh, hello, fellas. I feel pretty good, Dennis, and I'm anxious to get back on the program. You know, I have a hunch we're going to have a pretty good show today.
Without Orson Welles?
Yes.
Gosh, the Orson Welles program without Orson Welles. I worry about things like that.
The Jack Benny program. Get it straight, you little traitor. What's the matter with this gang?
Oh, Jack, don't be so touchy. You always imagine that people are running you down.
I imagine?
Yes, you jump at conclusions. If somebody happens to say you're a heel, you always take it the wrong way.
Well, how else can I take it? A heel is a heel.
You said it.
There you are. I imagine things, eh? Well, let's get started with the rehearsal. Rochester, pass the scripts around.
Yes, sir. Everybody gets a script and a glass of cough medicine.
There'll be no cough medicine.
I read this script, boss. A little nectar won't hurt it.
Rochester, whenever I need you in the capacity of a dramatic critic, I'll let you know. Now, let's get started, fellas. Now, Don introduces me in the show, and then I come on, and I say... Who can that be? Come in.
Hey, it's Miss Harrington, Mr. Wells' secretary. Hello, Miss Harrington.
Hello, Dennis. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello, slugger.
My, what an odd bed sheet. It has blue eyes.
This is me. This is me. I'm pale.
You certainly are. I have news for you, Mr. Benny. Mr. Wells is about to pay you a visit.
Orson? Orson? Coming here to visit me?
Yes. He'll be here shortly. Rochester, I want this room tidied up at once.
Yes, Miss Harrington?
I want a chair placed beside the bed.
Yes, Miss Harrington.
And put an X on Mr. Benny's forehead so Mr. Wells can spot him immediately.
Now, look, I'm not that pale. Now, Miss Harrington, would you mind sitting over there in the corner? We were just starting to rehearse our program.
Rehearse without the master? Mr. Wells won't like it.
Nuts to Mr. Wells.
I know just how you feel, Daddy. Well, I'll be darned. She's human.
Attention, everybody. Mr. Wells is about to make his entrance.
Mr. Wells. Come in. Gee, you'd think he was Frank Remley or something, the way they're jumping around here. Heaven's sake.
Well, Mary, it's nice to see you. How's Jack feeling today?
I feel well enough to do my broadcast, brother.
Wasn't that Jack's voice? Jack, where are you?
Right here. They forgot to mark me. Look, can't you see my big blue eyes?
Yes, they're gorgeous.
Thank you.
But you're so pale, Jack.
Well, you see, Orson, it's been so cloudy lately, I haven't been able to get any sun. I sit out in my backyard every day, but nothing happens.
I'll fix that. Miss Harrington, take a note.
Yes, Mr. Wells.
Get in touch with the Weather Bureau. The sun must shine tomorrow.
Yes, Mr. Wells.
See what I mean, Daddy?
Hey, maybe he can do it.
Oh, by the way, Jack, I noticed a lot of orange peels hanging on your clothesline. Is that to ward off evil spirits?
No, Mr. Billingsley, my boarder, was making some juice. Now, if you'll excuse us for a few minutes, Orson, we'll go ahead with our rehearsal.
Why, certainly. You don't mind if I stay and watch, do you?
No, 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 not at all. Now, as I was saying, fellas, Don introduces me, then I come on.
Pardon me, there doesn't seem to be a chair here.
What? No chair? Mr. Wells doesn't have a chair.
Oh, my goodness. Here, Orson, take mine.
No, Orson, take my chair.
Take mine. It's got a pretty cushion on it.
Take my chair, Orson. It's peachy. Here, take the bed.
I'll go out and hang on the clothesline. For heaven's sake. Now, let's get going with this rehearsal, whether Mr. Wells is standing, sitting, or floating around the room. Now, the first thing to do is, Orson, come down here. He knows more magic. Now, the first thing to do is run over the dialogue.
Run over the dialogue? Oh, no, that'll never do. No, 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 no.
What do you mean, no, 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 no?
Comedy, Jack, should never be rehearsed. Repetition destroys its sparkle and spontaneity.
But also...
The important elements of a variety program are the songs, the music.
Look,
now,
Orson,
Dennis, I want you to run over your song so we can get an idea of its length.
Now, wait a minute, Orson. This rehearsal is my business. You're not even going to be on the show.
I know, but I shall be listening. It's about time we listeners had something to say. Sing, Dennis.
I see what you mean, sister.
Mr. Wells, do you think it'll do for the program?
Well, Dennis, I think Mr. Benny should answer that question. After all, he's running the show this week.
Darn right I am. Your song was swell, Dennis, but it's a little long. I want you to cut half a minute out of it.
Cut? Half a minute? Cut of that beautiful ballad would ruin it.
Might at that. Tell you what, Dennis, I want you to add a half a minute
to
it.
You want him to add half a minute and destroy its musical climax?
You never thought of that, Ernie. Leave it alone, Dennis.
Leave it alone. You want him to leave it alone and...
Now, wait a minute, Orson.
Whoa, whoa, Orson.
Took him 10 years to build up the name Orson Welles. I made it Oris in 1 second. Wait, Orson, what the heck do you want?
I wish I knew.
So do I. Look, Orson, it's getting late. You mind?
You know.
Look, Orson, I'm sorry I killed your gag. Or I'm glad. I don't know which. Orson, it's getting late. Do you mind if we get on with the rehearsal?
Of course not. I'll just glance through this manuscript here on the table. Is it a screenplay?
No, that's my autobiography, Orson. I've been working on the story of my life since I've been sick.
Intriguing title. Jack Benny from Rags to Radio.
Yes, I was going to call it The Loves of Jack Benny, but I haven't done so well.
My. It's a thrilling opening. I, Jack Benny, was born on a farm near Waukegan, Illinois, many years ago.
It is thrilling, isn't it?
A great day of great rejoicing on the farm. Chickens were cackling, cows were mooing, hogs were grunting, and father was cockeyed.
What a celebration.
Young Jack Benny, from his very early days...
Oh, pardon me for interrupting, Orson, but we've got to get finished with our rehearsal.
No. This is interesting. Go ahead, Orson. Go ahead.
But, Jack, now, I've got to rehearse the sponsor's message yet.
You got to yet? Oh, yes, the sponsor's message. Well, Don, as long as I haven't been on the show for 5 weeks, I thought we'd concentrate on me.
Now, just a minute, Jack. You can't seriously believe that we listeners tune in to the Grape Nuts Flake program every week just to hear about you.
But Orson...
Of course not. We want to know how those toasty brown sweet as a nut little flakes are getting along.
But Oswald...
We want
Orson.
To know...
We want to know if they still...
Now, you know I can't louse up the sponsors.
No.
I got it pronounced great. We want to know if they still have that malty-rich flavor.
And if they... Well, the sponsors?
Yeah. Flavor, and if they're still America's fastest growing flake cereal.
But Orson, look at, I think that people want to know. Darn that nightshirt. But Orson, after Don delivers his message, can't I talk about myself? Can't I tell people my cold is better?
Jack, I wouldn't take any bows on that cold till you're strong enough to have a beautiful nurse.
Oh, well, I'll tell them anyway.
Well, and how's my little patient? Shall we take that nasty cast off your leg today?
Doc, I'm not a cocker spaniel. Look, but as long as you're here, you can give me an aspirin. All this excitement has given me a little headache.
An aspirin? Here you are.
Thank you.
That'll be 5 cents, please.
Look, put it on my bill. Now, if I can just swallow the thing...
Would you like to grease the track with a little cough medicine?
I don't need any chaser. See, it's down.
Say, that was a pretty big pill. It didn't look like an aspirin to me.
Me neither.
You neither? You're the doctor.
Well, you don't have to get so huffy about it. I just happened to give you a sleeping pill by mistake.
What?
You're lucky. It might have been a dog biscuit.
A sleeping pill?
He gave me a sleeping pill. Gosh, I can't go to sleep. I got a show to do today. Remember, Don, you introduced me. And I'll come on and say...
Well, Orson, looks like you'll have to do the show today.
I'll be glad to, Mary.
Now, come on, everybody. Let him sleep.
Those bills are wonderful. I'm headed for Central Avenue. I came back for the cough medicine, folks.
Time homemaker, then you're a member of the WINS, W-I-N-S, Women in National Service. And one of your big jobs is keeping the family well fed in spite of wartime food restrictions. Well, your job will be a lot easier if you serve more unrationed whole grain cereals more often. Cereals such as delicious toasty brown grape nut flakes. Well, our government's nutrition program urges that everybody get the important nourishment of the whole grain cereals every day. And in each luscious bowl full of malty-rich grape nut flakes and milk, you do get that important whole grain nourishment that includes many of the same essentials found in foods that are scarce. And friends, to enjoy the swell-tasting goodness and the whole grain nourishment of grape nut flakes, you don't have to give up a single precious ration stamp. So ask for plentiful, nutritious grape nut flakes in the big, thrifty 12-ounce package tomorrow.
Thanks, Orson. Good night, folks.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. I'm your host, Justine Ward. When Jack Benny fell ill in Chicago, the producers scrambled to find a replacement on very short notice. George Burns and Gracie Allen generously stepped into the breach. They were doing a weekly show on another network, but Jack Benny was beloved by the whole country, and as old friends from vaudeville days, Burns and Allen were there for him and did a very funny show. This show aired the week before Orson Welles took over as Benny's temporary replacement. This is the Jack Benny program with Burns and Allen, first broadcast March 7th, 1943, on NBC.
The Grape Nut Flakes program with Rochester, Dennis Day, Bill Goodwin, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And appearing for Jack Benny, who's confined with a cold, we have Jack's personal friends, George Burns and Gracie Allen. Well, ladies, now that shoes are being rationed, you won't want to waste any shoe leather tracking down your week's food orders. So, though I don't say run, I do say walk to your nearest grocer's for a big 12-ounce economy-sized package of delicious, toasty brown Grape Nuts Flakes. Your grocer has plenty of Grape Nuts Flakes, for whole grain cereals are abundant and thrifty, and they are not rationed. And government nutrition experts say we should eat more of them. Eat them oftener. You see, Grape Nuts Flakes in your diet help you to make up for other food shortages because they provide many nutritional essentials, including protective minerals and vitamins. And you get more flavor galore, malty-rich goodness, plus toasty brown texture in each luscious spoonful. So take a shortcut to thriftier, grand-tasting, nourishing breakfast by asking your grocer for Grape Nuts Flakes. Gentlemen, when Jack Benny found that he couldn't do his broadcast tonight, he told me to call on his good friends George Burns and Gracie Allen and ask them to pinch hit for him. So I started for the Burns Hotel to tell them about Jack's problem, never dreaming that another problem was already brewing in the domestic life of George and Gracie.
Gracie, will you please get away from that piano? We've been in New York a week now, and that's all I've heard.
But, George, March 16th is my concert with Paul Whiteman in Carnegie Hall. If I don't practice, I may lose all the magic in my finger.
Look, don't you realize that you're driving everybody nuts with this idea? In the past week, Paul Whiteman has lost 20 pounds.
Oh, I don't think he really lost them, dear. I think they just slipped down a little.
Gracie, why don't you give up the concert idea and try to take an interest in something else?
Oh, I've been busy, George. I spent a whole day showing Herman the sights of the city.
That's great. Sightseeing with a silly duck.
Well, he enjoyed every minute of it, especially at City Hall when I took him in to see Mayor LaGuardia.
Gracie, you shouldn't take a duck in to see LaGuardia.
Well, I simply had to, George. I knew he'd never get another chance to meet a mayor that he could stand beside and look right in the eye.
Well, I never thought of that.
Well, you have to excuse me now, Judge. I have to go work on the gown I'm designing to wear at my concert.
Now, Gracie, that...
Oh, it's a wonderful gown, dear. I decided it should be a musical creation. White satin with a very wide skirt.
What's musical about that?
Well, that's the beauty of it, dear. No one will realize how clever I am until I sit down and lean back.
And then what happens?
Well, I've got an accordion in the bustle.
Oh, no.
Well, I'll be back in a minute, dear.
I wonder how it feels to be married to a woman who makes sense. Oh, well, I'll never know. Come in.
Hello, George.
Well, I'll be Don. Don Wilson. Come on in, Don. How's Jack?
Well, that's why I'm here, George. Jack has a bad cold.
Really? Well, I'm sorry to hear it.
He'd like me to ask you a favor, George.
For sure. Anything at all.
Well, Jack won't be able to work tonight, so he wants you and Gracie to take over his show. Now, can you do it?
Well, sure, Don. We'll be happy to do anything for Jack.
Naturally, he knows that your time is valuable, and he doesn't expect you to do it for nothing.
Oh, now, Don.
He wants me to tell you that while he's lying in bed, he'll knit you a muffler.
Ah, good old Jack.
Now, all you have to do is buy the knitting needles and four balls of yarn.
Isn't four balls of yarn a lot for a muffler?
Oh, Jack wants one, too.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's nice. Gee, I've always envied Jack getting all those laughs. And here's my chance to kill all the people just by saying, or, yipe. And then he always gets a scream when he says, I do not marry and shut up.
Yeah, that Benny does say the funniest thing.
Isn't he a scream? Yes, he's a real wit, yes.
Oh, George, did you... Why, Paul Whiteman, I'm glad you dropped in.
No, no, Gracie, I'm Don Wilson, don't you remember?
Oh, of course, Don, how silly of me. I should have looked at your face first.
Gracie, Don has got some news for us.
Yes, Gracie. You see, Jack Benny is sick in bed, and he wants you...
Sick in bed? Oh, my goodness. I must send him a jar of my homemade crab apple jelly right away.
Well, now,
oh,
Gracie...
Oh, he'll love it. He'll love it. I used only the very best apples and the very best crabs.
Well, I don't think that...
I sent some of it to my sister Bessie when she had her operation. Of course, I can't tell you about Bessie's operation.
Well, good.
It was done by an army surgeon, and naturally that makes it a military secret.
Gracie, Don wants us to do Jack Benny's program tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry, George, but I couldn't think of going on Jack's program.
You what?
Well, isn't that a comedy program?
Oh, yes.
And don't people laugh at it?
Well, sure.
Well, George, what would my public think? I'm a concert artist.
What's she talking about, George?
Well, Gracie thinks she's going to play the piano at Paul Whiteman's concert in Carnegie Hall.
Yes, would you like to hear the number I'm going to play, Don? Here it is.
And that's what you're going to play at Carnegie Hall?
Well, there's no sense in playing something I don't know.
Gracie, forget this foolishness. We've got to do Jack's program tonight.
Well, I'm awfully sorry, but I couldn't accept an offer to appear on the radio. Except on a musical program, of course, such as dear Artie has.
Oh, you mean Artie Shaw?
Oh, my goodness, no. Artie Toscanini.
Gracie, have you gone out of your mind? We can't let Jack Benny down.
Well, George, I have my career to think of. No great musician can afford to be laughed at. Did Mendelssohn do it? Did Mendel's daughter do it? Did Mendel himself do it?
No, that was a great act, too. The musical Mendels. They were next to closing at the Jefferson.
Gracie, now you mustn't think only of yourself. Think of George. He's very anxious to do Jack Benny's show.
Well, I don't know why. George doesn't know a soul in St. Joe.
Gracie, will you stop being so stubborn?
Well, George, I just can't risk my concert career. There's the world of music, and then there's the world of comedy. You can't mix the two. You know what I always say? East is east, and west is west, and north is north, and south is south, and east is east, and west. Well, I guess that covers it.
Yes. That even overlaps a little bit, yeah.
This is Paul Whiteman, and here's one of America's most popular singers with one of America's most popular songs, Dennis Day, singing There Are Such Things.
Oh, are that true? There are such things, a dream for two. There are such things, someone to whisper, darling, you're my guiding star. Not caring what you own, but just what you are. A peaceful sky. There are such things, a rainbow high, where heaven sings. So have a little faith and trust in what tomorrow brings. You'll reach a star because there are such things.
Gracie, you've just got to listen to reason. The Benny program goes on the air in an hour.
I'm sorry, George.
But, Gracie, in a little while, millions of people are going to tune into our program. And what are they going to hear? 30 minutes of silence.
Well, what's the difference if one week the program isn't quite as lively as usual?
Look, Gracie, don't you understand? One of our dearest friends is in a spot and he needs someone to go on his program.
Oh, I wish we were in California. The Beverly Hills Uplift Society All-Girls Symphony Orchestra would be glad to do the program.
That silly club of yours. Nobody is interested in those hens.
George Burns, that's no way to talk about your wife and your wife's friends.
Well, didn't mean you, sweetheart.
Well, it's no way to talk about those other hens either.
All right.
I'm going inside and practice an etude. Who knows? If it goes well, tomorrow I might try a B-tude.
Hmm. Well, this is fine.
You said it.
Yeah. Come in.
George, listen. I hear you're going to do the Jack Benny show tonight.
Well,
Boy, I can't wait to read those commercials, George. Listen, that fat boy they've got announcing on that show is strictly from hunger.
Bill,
Listen, George, Benny only keeps him on because he can laugh.
Bill, say hello to Don Wilson.
Hello, Mr. Wilson. You've heard that fat boy on the Benny... Don Wilson! Hello, Don.
So I'm known to you as Fat Boy, huh, Goodwin?
Oh, well, now, don't get sore, Don. I'm always making up nicknames for people. They never fit.
Well, I don't care about that, but what was that about my announcing?
Oh, nothing, Don, nothing at all. I think you're great. As a matter of fact, Don, I'd like to ask you a favor. You see, I thought maybe you could mention my product on the show tonight. You see, I sell one
I'm of not the... interested in what you sell.
Well, but, Don, it's purer than the...
I'm sorry, but there's no place that I can mention it.
No soap, huh?
No soap. I talk about Grape Nuts Flakes. And Grape Nuts Flakes happen to be America's fastest-growing breakfast cereal. Yes, sir, Grape Nuts Flakes are my idea of the most tempting, appetizing, toasty brown breakfast dish that was ever put before a hungry family.
Well, Don, after the family finishes eating that tempting, delicious, toasty brown cereal, they have to wash the dishes now, don't they?
Why, certainly.
Well, what do they use to wash the dishes?
Water, of course. Believe me, Bill, once you taste those...
Don, old man, please, what do they put in the water?
The dishes. Believe me, Bill, once you taste Grape Nuts Flakes, with their malty, rich, sweet as a nut flavor, their crisply toasted goodness, you'll know why I'm so enthusiastic. And what's more important, Grape Nuts Flakes are a whole grain cereal, chock full of all-around nourishment. And, Bill, you better make a date for tomorrow's breakfast with Grape Nuts Flakes.
Well, all right, Don. Right after I've had my shower with...
Grape Nuts Flakes.
Okay, you win. So long, fat boy.
Well, Don, we're right back where we started.
George, now, why don't you go in and talk with your wife? Put your foot down.
You're darn right I will. I'll show her who's the boss.
Atta boy.
Gracie.
What do you want?
Well, sweetheart. You know that beautiful fur coat you saw in Bergdorf Goodman's?
You mean the one you said was too expensive for me?
Uh-huh. Well, I've got a little surprise for you. If you do the program tonight, that coat will be in your closet in the morning.
Well, if it isn't, we were robbed.
Oh, fine.
Please, Gracie, now...
Now, what? I'm sorry, boys. You'll have to excuse me now. I've got to dip some spaghetti in ink.
You've got to what?
I've got to dip some spaghetti in ink.
That's what it's, I thought you said.
It's to fool our little dolly duck. You see, the hotel won't send up any worms.
So you got to dip spaghetti in ink? Come on, Don, let's get out of here.
Oh, come on, Herman. Dinner's almost ready. Aha, here's Mama's little precious ducky. You know, Herman, your daddy George is mad at me. But, Herman, dear, we mustn't be too annoyed with him. He has a kind heart. Oh, now, that's not fair, baby. He just doesn't realize that it's more important to capture a beautiful melody that comes from a soul than it is to get a big laugh that comes from... Well, never mind. We'll show him when we get to Carnegie Hall. Carnegie Hall? Well, that's where your mama's going to play her concert. Oh, I can see it now, Herman. It's time for my entrance. There's a tremendous fanfare of trumpets. Then I play my piece and I become the sensation of New York. Reporters will flock around me. I'll be the guest of honor at dozens of banquets. Oh, I probably won't be home for days. Oh, Mama didn't mean to make you cry. She'll always find time to be with her darling little baby. And your Daddy George will be so proud of me. Oh, come in.
I do, Miss Burns. I'm Rochester.
Hello, Rochester. I suppose you're looking for Mr. Wilson.
That's right, ma'am. I've been talking to Mr. Benny and... My, poultry.
Rochester. That's my little son, Herman.
Son?
Well, yes. Don't you think he looks like his daddy?
Don't believe I ever met the bird.
Of course you have. I'm married to him.
You mean Mr. Burns is that duck's papa?
Uh-huh.
Oh, come now.
Well, I wish George was here, too. You'd notice the resemblance if you saw them both walking. Anyway, I think you two ought to be great friends. Herman, shake hands with Rochester.
How do, Mr. Herman? I've held many a drumstick, but that's the first one that ever withdrew voluntarily.
Rochester, I know he's dying to have a conversation with you. Go on, say something to him.
Is this practical?
Oh, sure. Go on.
Okay. Mr. Herman, what are you going to be doing Meatless Tuesday?
Rochester, he's busy on Tuesday. He always goes to Central Park. Would you like to take him for a walk in the park sometime?
You mean you'd trust me alone with that fat little rascal?
Oh, certainly. He wouldn't hurt you.
The vice versa don't trouble you none.
Oh, no. Well, Rochester, maybe you're silly to wait for Mr. Wilson. I'm not going on Mr. Benny's program anyhow.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes, the piano is my whole life now. Do you play the piano, Rochester?
No, ma'am. I ain't familiar with ivories when they come in large groups.
Oh. Well, goodbye, Rochester. I must get back to my art. From now on, I intend to woo the muses. Terpsichore, Calliope, Schenectady.
got us. It's that old black magic that's got us. Yes, sir.
Don, think we ought to try it again.
No, George, I've got a headache.
So have I, but I wish I could get it to go on Jack's program. Come in.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Gee, Mr. Wilson, you're going to catch it. Mr. Benny just called, and he's all excited because he hasn't heard from you.
Now, Dennis, there's nothing to worry about.
But I don't want Mr. Benny to get high blood pressure with my blood.
Now, just pull yourself together and say hello to George Burns. He's taking Jack's place tonight.
Hello, Dennis. How are you? What's funny?
Gee, you're a scream, Mr. Burns.
What's this anyway?
Aren't you taking Mr. Benny's place tonight?
What of it?
I was afraid if I didn't laugh, you'd twist my arm like Mr. Benny does.
Say, George, maybe Dennis can persuade Gracie to go on the show.
Dennis?
Sure, believe it or not, the little dope seems to have a way with women.
Gee, have I?
All right, go in and talk to Gracie. We'll find out.
Yes, sir. Hello, Miss Allen.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Yes, ma'am. I'm supposed to ask you to be on Mr. Benny's program tonight.
Well, I won't do it.
I don't blame you, Miss Allen. Mr. Benny says some terrible things about your brother, Fred.
Oh, no. Fred's not my brother, Dennis. And please don't call me Miss Allen. I've been Mrs. Burns since one day years ago when a tall, handsome, charming man came along and pronounced George and me man and wife.
But, Mrs. Burns, if you have nothing against Mr. Benny personally, why won't you go on his program?
Well, I simply can't do it, Dennis. You see, I'm an intellectual, and Jack Benny is, well, he...
Isn't he, though?
Well, I'm glad you see my point. You must understand that we intellectuals care only for the finer things in life. You know, Shakespeare and Beethoven and Walter Pigeon.
Gee, I've always wanted to meet an intellectual, Mrs. Burns.
Well, how do?
How do? I'll bet you read lots of books, huh?
Oh, yes, Dennis. A day never goes by that I don't pick up a book to dust it, if nothing else.
You know something? I'm crazy about books, too.
Oh, really? Do you like Little Women?
Oh, sure, but I like books even better.
Oh, well, so do I. And, Dennis, don't you just adore poetry?
Yeah.
Oh, I know most of Longfellow by heart. Can you ever forget the opening lines of Hiawatha?
Yeah.
Me, too. You know what, Dennis? You're the first person I've ever met who's my intellectual equal.
I guess there aren't many of us.
Dennis, believe me, you are just being wasted on the Jack Benny program.
Yeah, wasted.
Imagine you singing.
Yeah, singing.
Why, you should be reading poetry.
Yeah, poetry. I'm crazy about poems.
Yeah, crazy.
I've always dreamed that someday I'd get up on Mr. Benny's program and recite If.
If he'd let you?
Oh, no, If by Kipling.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. How does it go?
I'll recite it for you. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster, if...
Oh, stop, stop. Don't go on. It's too beautiful.
Gee, I'm sorry. I should have warned you that I was pretty heavenly.
Oh, Dennis, we must have... Oh, come in. Why, Tootsie Sagwell. Hello, Tootsie.
Oh, Gracie, I thought you were practicing, so I... Oh, does he belong to anybody?
Well, not yet, Tootsie. Dennis, I want you to meet my girlfriend, Tootsie Sagwell. Tootsie, Dennis Day.
Oh, my, what a gorgeous hunk of child. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Miss Sagwell. Say, haven't I seen you someplace before?
Oh, it's
cute. Tootsie is as cultured as we are, Dennis. And she has a lovely singing voice.
Oh, I haven't.
I'd like to hear her sing sometime, Miss Sagwell. I'll bet you've got a lovely vibrato.
Oh, what he said.
Tootsie, Dennis is on Jack Benny's program, but he's very unhappy. You see, he's cultured like us.
Oh, I knew you were a kindred soul, Dennis. You have such a sensitive face.
I'll say, every month it kills me when I have to shave it.
Say, I just had a marvelous idea.
What, Gracie?
I will go on Jack Benny's program with you and Dennis.
Huh?
Well, we'll change the name of that show from the Grape Nut Flake program to 30 Minutes of Refinement. I'll play the piano, Tootsie will sing, and Dennis will recite.
Oh, boy, now you're cooking with gas, if you'll pardon the expression.
I'll tell George. Oh, George!
Yeah?
George, I've changed my mind. I've decided to go on Jack Benny's program after all.
You mean it?
Yes.
Well, bless your heart. And now I'm going to get you that hat that goes with that fur coat.
You mean this one?
Yeah, that's the one. Come on, let's go to the studio.
Ready, everybody?
Yes, Don.
Yep, all set, Don.
Well, stand by. We'll be on the air in just a second. The Grape Nuts Flake program.
That's enough, Don. Step aside, please.
Huh? Gracious. Wait a minute. He hasn't...
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present 30 minutes of refinement. Ready, Dennis and Tootsie?
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
All right, let's go.
If you can keep your head on all around you, if you can trust yourself alone and doubt it, if you can wait
up it. Honestly, Jack, I did the best I could. Good night, everybody.
If you can keep your head on all around you.
George and Gracie will be right back, so I have just a moment to make this one request. Friends, for the sake of your loved ones in service, for the sake of your loved ones at home, give to the American Red Cross War Fund. The Red Cross works on every war front, giving skilled care, saving lives. The Red Cross stands by on the home front, ready to meet sudden danger. But the Red Cross must raise $125 million to carry on its good work. So do your part. Give and give generously to the American Red Cross War Fund. Now, here are George and Gracie.
Oh, good night, everybody. And Jack, hurry and get well.
And please send the muffler. Good night, folks. Thank you.
Money program next week when we'll be broadcasting from Hollywood with Mary Livingston, Dennis Day, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The makers of Grape Nuts Flakes want to extend their sincerest thanks to George Burns and Gracie Allen for pinch-hitting for Jack Benny on tonight's show. George and Gracie were presented every Tuesday night over another network by the makers of Swan, the new white floating soap.
Thank you so much for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. This concludes the series of broadcasts during 1943 when Jack Benny fell ill and was unable to do his weekly show himself. Next week, I hope you can join us again for some more rare gems from radio's golden age. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.